welcome to the Empower Church podcast. My name's Matt Garner, and I'm the pastor at Empower Church here in Melbourne, Australia. We're so glad you've joined us today, and I am believing that today's message is not only going to inspire you and encourage you, but it's going to empower, equip, and challenge you to be everything that God has called you to be. Hey, if you want more information about what we're up to at Empower Church, just jump on our website, empowerchurch.co, and all the details are there. We really hope that you enjoy the message.
Okay, awesome. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Awesome. So, you know, you may have come in today, and what label are you wearing? What label? If I look around the room, I can see a few different labels. I can see Kathmandu, I can see Nike, I can see maybe Adidas. Others of you are just like, I don't care. I don't care about clothes. I haven't come in with a label. But, you know, what image do you bear? And what is, what do you find your identity in? So it might not be in a clothing label that you're wearing, but metaphorically speaking, you know, do you find your identity in perhaps being a successful careers person or a business person? Is it in being a mum or being a dad, a stay-at-home mum or a working mum or stay-at-home dad or a working dad? Or perhaps it's in your musical talent or your sports talent, or maybe it's being the only child or the youngest child or that middle child. Maybe it's being in being single or being married. Maybe it's in your ethnicity, or maybe it's, yeah, it can be so many things. But this morning, I simply wanted to, I suppose, suggest to you and encourage you that in Jesus, our primary identity, our primary identity is in being children of God, is in being His children. And everything that is beyond that is just secondary to that. It is subsequent to that. So in Jesus, our primary identity is being a child of God. Every other identity is secondary to this. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to Himself as His own children through Christ Jesus, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of His will. I've got it up in a few different versions there. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. You know, John 1:12, which I'm going to, it's not, I don't think, on the screen, but also says, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become a child of God. So Jesus restored the image of God in humanity that was marred and distorted by sin. You know, you might have heard that Jesus is like the last Adam, the first Adam who came and was created in the image of God, but chose to sin and marred that image. Jesus came as the last Adam, and through His life, through His death and His resurrection, He made a way to restore that image and restore our relationship with Him. I might just get some of you little ones just maybe to come over here to you. Can you go to your mummy and your daddy? Yep, just, and Maya, you can come over here. We'll go to Matt there. Just grandkids. Love you guys. So Jesus atoned for our sin so the image of God and the relationship to him could be restored. Hebrews 1:6 says this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus came to earth not only as the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for sin, and the reason being is because God is just, right? And in his justice, just as those justice-seeking people, if someone has wronged, you're seeking justice for that. Well, that's the same with God. He's completely just. He's completely righteous. And so even the law could only do so much. But Jesus, being God, came and humbled himself as a man to be that sacrifice for us. But he also came as a man to restore the image of God. So this morning, friend, young person, older person, you are an image bearer. You are made in the image of God. You are in Jesus. You are his child. And you might be saying, what do you mean, child of God? Like, how can I be a child of God? Like, obviously, we're not talking about natural children here. You still got your parents, your mum, and your dad. But it's talking about being children in the spirit. And I'm going to get Ethan to come. And he's going to read John 3:3-7 for us.
Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can seek the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again."
Amazing. Thanks, Ethan. So in Jesus, we are born again. We are alive in him. We are restored into our God image and why we were created. And I thought, just to mix it up a bit for those that like visual learning, I thought we would play a video just to teach a little bit around this. And so today I'm going to play from the Bible Project, which I just want to say I find is such a fantastic resource, and one of the best resources that I've seen that does span the generations. So I see it as a great tool. So maybe parents with children or friends, some of you, if you're gathering together in Bible study and you need a resource, or even as an individual, I've found this to be good. But today we're just going to take 5 minutes just to switch it up and just to learn a little bit about the image of God. So thank you, Michael.
Authority of a king.
And many of these kings claimed that they were gods, and they would even call themselves the image of God.
Meaning they had authority to tell people what to do, order things to be made.
They got to define good and evil. And these kings...
So if you lived in ancient Bible times, odds are you lived under the authority of a king.
And many of these kings claimed that they were gods, and they would even call themselves the image of God.
Meaning they had authority to tell people what to do, order things to be made.
Yeah, they got to define good and evil. And these kings would often make statues of themselves, which in Hebrew were called tselem, often translated as idol or image.
But for Israel, they didn't view their kings as the god. In fact, they were never supposed to even make images of God.
It's exactly right, and that was really unique for that time and culture. This is rooted, first of all, in Israel's belief that you can't reduce the creator God down to any one thing in creation. But there's another reason. People aren't to make images of God because God has already made images of himself.
When did he do that?
Well, let's go to page one of the Bible. And the first person we meet there is God. He's the one with authority over all creation. He speaks and creation obeys. And he defines what is good and not good. In other words, he alone is king. But then surprisingly, as the pinnacle of all of God's creative work, he makes humans. And he calls all of them the image of God.
So he gives all humans the authority to rule.
Exactly. That's what he goes on to say. He tells the humans to subdue the earth and to rule it. And so this task that once belonged only to elite kings is here in the Bible the task of every human being. This was a revolutionary statement in its day because all humans are being called to rule and to participate in the human project.
So what does this mean? I mean, how are we all supposed to rule?
So the picture we get in Genesis is gardening.
Gardening?
Yes. Gardening. So they rule the earth by cultivating it, by harnessing all of the earth's raw potential and then making something more and new out of it.
So growing food for each other.
Yes, but that also includes growing families then, which become neighborhoods. And then they create communities where people are going to work and take care of each other and build businesses and cities that will expand to new places and so on.
So ruling is really the day-to-day acts of our work and creativity.
Yes, we take the world somewhere. This is humanity's divine and sacred task.
Yeah, and this all sounds really nice. And humans have designed some pretty great things. But just as often we create things that cause a lot of suffering and a lot of injustice, so maybe we shouldn't actually be ruling.
Huh? Yeah, so the Bible addresses this. In Genesis, what happens is that God gives humans a choice about how they're going to rule. So are they going to use their authority for the benefit of others, which is God's definition of good, or are they going to turn away and define good and evil for themselves and use their authority for self-advantage?
And in the story, they choose to define good and evil on their own terms.
And so this is the Bible's depiction of the human condition. So sometimes we pull off amazingly good stuff, but just as often, despite our best intentions, we act selfishly and we create evil in the world.
And so we're stuck as mediocre rulers making a mess of things.
But that's not the end of the story. So the Bible goes on and it makes this claim that all of this was resolved when God bound himself to humanity through Jesus. And he showed us what it looks like to truly rule as a human.
So what does it look like?
Well, Jesus ruled by serving and by seeking the best for others, by putting himself underneath them and loving not just his friends, but also his enemies.
And that's not a typical way to rule.
And not only that, Jesus confronted the consequences of all of the evil and the death that we have created by our messed up ways of ruling. And he takes it. I mean, he lets it kill him. And so when the New Testament writers looked back to Jesus' resurrection, they see a whole new future opening up for all humanity.
Jesus is a new way to be human.
Yeah, that's why they call Jesus the image of God, or the new human. And not only that, they also believe that Jesus' divine life and power is now available to heal and to transform us to become our life and power.
And this sounds really nice, but what does it really look like?
So practically, the Apostle Paul said it looks like people being filled by Jesus' own presence and spirit, filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and integrity and gentleness and self-control. He says this is the new humanity that God wants to create in us so that we become people in whom God's image is being restored, people who will move the human project forward. And that's actually how the story of the Bible ends. It's a renewed world where God is on his throne and his servants are all around him, but they're the ones ruling over this new world, taking it into new, uncharted territory with Jesus as their healer and their guide.
Thanks, Michael. Awesome. So I don't know about you, but that did help just illustrate to me God's original design, that we are made in his image and that through the work of Jesus, how he actually restores that. And so I started out speaking from Ephesians, and Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesus. And this church at the time was both Jews and Gentiles. And so Paul had this great, I suppose, mission to now present the good news of the gospel that was available not just to the Jews, not just to the children of Abraham, but now to Gentiles, now to all people around the world. And Jesus did something that was so radical that brought different ethnicities, that brought people into this fold. And through him, we are called the beloved children of God. And so the first part of Ephesians, you know, Ephesians 1, 2, 3, is setting that all up. It's talking about who we are, whose we are. And so I encourage you to read that. But then as you go into chapter 4 and chapter 5, it says, now that you know who you are, now that you have a belief in your heart, now that you have a conviction, now that you have encountered this loving, this real God through the work of Holy Spirit and have encountered Jesus, now this is what your purpose is. And then it goes on to talk about, you know, all of the APES and how we've got different giftings, and we spoke a lot about that last year, and how although that we're one body and we are unified in Jesus as the head, that we are so diverse in that body. And then he goes on from there to say, not only is this your purpose and you're one, but you're individual and you're all come together in Jesus. He also then goes on to teach and to show them. For some of them, they had come from cultures that this was just revolutionary to have Jesus come, who was a king, but he came to serve and he came to love, and he came in this way that people didn't expect him to come. So the Apostle Paul is saying, okay, now that you have this revelation, now that you know that you are a child of God, now that you know that you are loved and valued, now can I show you what this looks like? And then in chapter 4, it goes on to say, now that the take off the old self and here is the new self. And it goes on to talk about in chapter 5, and I'll read it. So we started, for those that are taking notes, we started with Ephesians 1:5. Now we're going to Ephesians 5:1, and it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So sometimes we focus on behavior. Do this, do that. This is good. This is bad. You know, religion focuses on the do's and the don'ts, but does not, it misses the absence of, it must come out of who you are. And so something that's legalistic, it goes straight to the behavior without actually dealing with the heart. And so here the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, he's saying, this is who you are. And out of who you are, because you are beloved children of God, if God is a God of love, then you also should love. And so Jesus is also, you know, so he came not only as a perfect sacrifice, but he also came in human form so that we can see what it looks like to live in the image of God. He is the perfect example. So if you're looking at what it looks like to live according to your purpose, your original design, you just need to look at Jesus. And just, you know, I just wanted to quickly look at some of, you can go away and read it in Ephesians 4, but I just wanted to put up what some of the comparisons are between, say, that old self or the old human versus the new self and the new human. And so kids that are taking here, this is now your cue to fill in gaps. So instead of lying, The new self speaks truth. Instead of stealing, they're generous. Instead of gossiping, we're encouraging. Instead of being revenging or revengeful, we're forgiving. Instead of promiscuity or just, I suppose, unbridled sexual desire, we have self-control. Instead of drunkenness, we are filled with God's Spirit. And then this is not in Ephesians 4, but it's throughout the Bible, the New Testament. Instead of being prideful, we're humble. Instead of hatred, we are loved. We see all of this demonstrated in Jesus, and we are restored in him. And you might be saying, well, you know what? I walk with Jesus, but I still have some of this old stuff. I don't know about you, but I definitely have some of that old self. And this is where I suppose what Matt was speaking about a couple of weeks ago around having to renew our minds. And this is where I, so just tie it in the context of our spirits when we believe in Jesus, when we accept the work of Jesus, when he is our Lord and Savior, our spirits are saved. They are made alive. They are perfect. But our soul and our body is being saved. It's being renewed. It's being made whole. And this is why, you know, if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, Matt spoke around renewing, the importance of renewing our mind, putting on the mind of Christ, renewing our minds according to the Word of God. But I think even more so, I think it's a allowing the truth of this message to become revelation in our heart. And, you know, Matt's going to speak around heart as well coming up. But there's something so powerful when you're able to bring Jesus into every part of your heart and your past experiences and allowing him to change some of those narratives that have been set up over your life that may be reflective of your old self, but as you allow Jesus to come in. And this is why we're talking about this is why it's so powerful talking about the oneness of body and soul and spirit, the unity of body, soul and spirit, because Jesus wants to use all of it, and it's in coming to him, being submitted to him and letting the blood of Jesus, letting the work of the cross renew us and refresh us. And so even if you look at Ephesians, right, it talks about the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It goes on to use the metaphor of us as temples and the importance of the body, but then talking about the family as a body and as one. So there's something so powerful in unity, not uniformity, but being one in Christ. And so this morning I just wanted to finish with like a benediction or a blessing or a prayer. And our children do this, or they did do it last year at school. I don't know if they still do it. But it talks about who we are and whose we are. And I might just get David to come. So today, you know, regardless of you, if you were young or if you were old or if you've walked with Jesus for a long time or you're new to faith or perhaps you don't even, you know, have a personal relationship with God. The importance of knowing our identity, knowing why. Why we exist, why we're here. Is so important. And you know, if you look around, there's so much confusion. and so much struggle in this area. And so my encouragement to you today is, would you look at Jesus today? And then would you look at your own life? And would you ask him, what are those areas of my life that I don't see myself as a child of God? And whilst the first step is salvation, is a belief in him, a belief in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, that he died and he rose again, that is just the beginning. Ephesians also says that he's given us the Spirit, that we, the gospel and the good news would not just be something that is of knowledge, but we would know the power of the Spirit, that we would experience it and that it would change us. And so before I put up that, I just like to give you just a couple of moments before the Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you love us. Lord, I thank you that you chose us. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving and that you're breathing even right now in this place. The work of the cross was not just for 2,000 years ago, but it is for here and is for us now. So, Lord, we come and we surrender our hearts. We open up our hearts to you. We open up our minds. Breath of God, would you come and breathe upon us? Holy Spirit, today would you reveal Jesus, the perfect example of what it is to walk as a human. Put that up, and maybe if we could just say it together, and then we're going to close. But I do want to allow some time. Our prayer team are going to be up the front, and so if there's aspects of this that you've felt a tug in your heart and you want someone to stand with you, we'd love to come and stand with you. If you're here today and you don't know God, you don't have a personal real relationship, I've been talking about Jesus, and you don't know this Jesus personally, to come down and talk to us at the end. Or if you came with a friend, speak to that friend. Or if you know someone and you don't want to come down the front at the end, can I encourage you to do that? Because Jesus, he's so beautiful, he's so wonderful. So why don't we just go ahead and just say this. I am not what I do. I am not what people say about me. I am a beloved child of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to hurry. I don't have to worry. I can trust Jesus and share his love with the world. So I'd like to encourage you, you know, if you've got children, maybe take snapshot of that and do this with them. It's so important as parents that we are speaking truth into our children. And even, you know, even if you don't have children, declare this over your own life. If you're here as a couple or by yourself or with your friends, whatever, love to encourage you to do that. But yeah, cool. Yeah, God's so good, hey? Yeah. So good. And he uses it all, you know? So for some, that worship was incredibly powerful. And for others, it was connecting and meeting someone new. And for others, it was part of the message. It was a specific verse. He uses it all. He's so good. So thank you. Thank you for having open hearts. Thank you for being flexible with the kids here. Thank you, kids. You are amazing. So if you have filled out that form, I have got a box, like a whole bowl of chocolate. So come and see me and I'll give you one of those. That team, that one, you can come and get some chocolates too. Next week, we do have a kids program. We're actually doing a holiday program. We have got Mooka is taking some of the kids across the road to La Trobe Stadium. We've got a basketball program happening there. Gemma and the team, the whole team is doing stuff. We've got a dance workshop happening. We've got a holiday games program. So that's going to be heaps of fun. Coffee is out in the foyer after the service, so please stay around and do that. And as I said, the prayer team will be here. If anyone wants prayer, please come and avail yourself to that. Okay, have a wonderful week.